Is this in the past? They were blinded, they couldn't see. That talks about a callousness, a hardness of the heart. One commentary I read said it's somewhat like stupidity. I hate to use that word this morning. They were blinded because they chose it. They were living in ignorance. They were carrying sorry. They were caring only about their own feelings. Nobody else's. I matter. Nobody else. They were serving only themselves. That's basically saying the same thing. They were concerned with feeling satisfied in their immorality. They were a people of greed. They wanted more. There was no end to wanting. They just wanted more. And I look at this and I think, what a sad, sad picture. Then I have to think about myself. Their situation was hopeless. Empty. My situation was hopeless. Empty. Why? Because I chose that. If I choose Jesus, He can fill that. So our situation is no longer hopeless and empty. And I don't want to dwell on our past this morning. Marcus said just a little bit about that. I've shared this another time here. And just for the whole idea of dwelling on our past, of a brother that came through our area and shared about all the gooey junk that he'd been into. I remember my dad telling me he's going to walk away from the Lord, and he did. When we dwell on our past, we end up going back to our past. Friends, we are new. It's a new life. It's a new walk that we're walking in. It's not the old. And I want us to think about that this morning. 1 Peter 4:3 says, "Let the time that is past suffice for doing what the Gentiles like to do, living in licentiousness, passions, drunkenness, revels, carousing, and lawless idolatry." It's empty. It's without God. That is the past. It's no hope. Titus 3:3 says, "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by men and hating one another." Then there's this thing of walking with the Lord for a while and reverting back into sin. 2 Peter 2:20, verse 20-22, "And when people escape from the wickedness of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then get tangled up and enslaved by sin again, they are worse off than before. It would be better if they had never known the way to righteousness than to know it and then reject the command they were given to live a holy life. They prove the truth of this proverb, 'A dog returns to its vomit.'" And another says, "A washed pig returns to the mud." So I don't want to focus on our past a whole lot this morning. We have a bright future. I want us to know that. We have a bright future. But it's going to depend how we respond to the Word of God. Let's move on down to verse 20, Ephesians 4:20. I want to read verse 20-24. It says, "But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard Him, and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." I want to focus in on verse 24 a bit. "But ye have not so learned Christ." This isn't what you learned about Christ. We have the Holy Spirit. We have Sunday school class. We have devotions at home. We have our private devotions. We have sermons. We've got a bombardment of knowing about God. What are we learning about Christ? Are we not getting it because we don't have interest? I'm speaking to myself this morning. I'm not pointing fingers at you. Am I not getting it because I have no interest in the Word of God? Friends, our minds have been changed. We have a new way of thinking. We're a new creation. Our former lifestyle is gone. It's no longer our drive. God desires that we all come to repentance. He wants us all to be holy. Do I realize that? Do I realize that He's asking holiness of me? That doesn't give me any time to dabble in sin. He wants us to be holy because He is holy. Philippians 3:10 says it this way. It says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings be made conformable unto His death. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. The same power that raised Him from the dead is the power that cleanses and purifies us. The same power. Am I tying into that power? Sometimes we think of benefits. Benefits as a Christian. How we are walking. As we walk this life, there are benefits. And this sounds, you know, kind of selfish. This is a benefit. I'm living for Christ, so I have a benefit. But I want to look at four different benefits this morning really quick. The first one I want to look at is the benefit of being loved. Having eternal life. John 3:15-16. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Should not perish but have eternal life. That's a benefit. If we walk with the Lord, we are guaranteed not to perish. But we're guaranteed eternal life. Where? In glory with Him. Am I willing to give it up for myself? Life is short. Eternity is forever. We receive eternal life. We are loved. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He loved the world. That's me. That's you. He loves us enough that He died for us. That is the first benefit. The second benefit, freedom from fear. Luke 1:74 says that He would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear. Children, I want to tell you a story this morning. You know this story probably, but I'm going to tell you anyhow. Nebuchadnezzar. I want us to think a little bit about functioning without fear. Nebuchadnezzar was a king that built a statue out of gold. It was 9 foot wide. I would say probably about this the width of this step here. It was 90 feet tall. What have we got in here? 16 feet to the ceiling probably? So we're probably 5-6 times as high as this ceiling. 9 by 90 was this gold statue. He calls together his cabinet. And he tells them, I want to introduce to you this statue. And I want you to worship this statue. When I blow the trumpets, when the sound of instruments are played, I want you to worship this statue. There were 3 men in that group. Now I want you to think about those 3 men. Would you be willing to want to be one of these 3 men? The musical instruments are played. Everybody bows down, but 3 men standing. 3 men standing. Why? Because they loved their God more than the things of this world. They had a heart for God. 3 men standing. And there was a group of men that saw this, so they went back to the king Nebuchadnezzar and they said, hey, look, there's 3 guys here. First of all, they said, didn't we make a law? Anybody who does not bow gets thrown into the furnace. Yeah, we did make that law. Well, there's 3 men that stood up and they refused to bow. So the king says, bring them in. I want to talk to them. So they took the 3 men in before the king. The king said, is this true? Is it true that you're not willing to bow? They said, yes, that's true. Well, I'm going to give you one more opportunity. When I blow the horns, when the trumpets sound, when the strings are played, I want you to bow. They said, no. They didn't even need that opportunity because the fear in their heart was gone. They had another fear. They had a fear of God, not of man. They said, no, we don't need another opportunity. It doesn't specifically say it that way, but they said, no. We won't bow. The king got angry. He told the men that were in charge of that furnace, I want you to go out and I want you to make that furnace 7 times hotter than it is. Like as if one fire, the normal fire, is not hot enough. 7 times hotter, so they did. He said, I want you to tie him up. Throw him into that furnace. So they did. They took these 3 men over to the furnace, they opened the door and they tossed them in. As they tossed them in, the fire was so hot the ones tossing men fell down dead. That's how hot that fire was. The king is sitting there, and a little bit he looks into the furnace. I don't know how he could look inside, but he looked into the furnace and there's 4 men walking in the flames. The king looked and he said, didn't we throw 3 in there? There's 4. He said, and the one looks like the Son of God. So he said, bring him back out. And by the way, he said, their hands weren't tied anymore. He said, bring him back out. So he brought him back out and he asked him about it. He made a new decree. He said, anybody that speaks against these people's God is going to be torn, chopped in pieces, and their house is going to be made a dunghill. Think about fear for a minute. What if these men would have feared men instead of God? But ye have not so learned Christ. We have a God that we can serve without human fear of things around us. We need a fear of God. The third one I want to look at is 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon Him before for He careth for you. A place to take our troubles and have them removed. Anybody here this morning that has no troubles? We all have them. We all have troubles. I'm loaded with them. I have a place I can go to. I can give my troubles, and He takes them. Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me all ye that labor, all you who are weary and are heavy laden, you're overburdened, and I will give you rest, refreshment. I will give you rest. The fourth one we want to look at really quick is, our hate is replaced with love. John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. New Living says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. I was among a bunch of guys the other night. Not a bunch of guys, a few, probably 8 of them. They were not from our congregation here. They were from another congregation. But there was something that stood out to me so much. There was this good nature bantering that was going on amongst them. They could tease. There was a joy there, a laughing. I believe they love God because they loved each other. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I want to dwell on Romans 12, verse 12 for a bit. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Talks in here about being renewed. As I looked at that word a little bit, it talked about being renovated. There's a couple down in Texas that takes a lot of houses. They'll buy an old house and they call it flipping houses. They buy a house and they will put pictures on of how this house looked at the beginning. And by the time they're done, they have a totally different house. It has been renovated. God takes our old shell of who we are. And when we allow Him to come in and to take over, we become renovated. We get a new heart. Let's not get away from that. We get a new heart, but we're still in this old body. He makes us useful for this life. Someday we'll have a new body. But for right now, He makes us useful for this life to honor and glorify Him here. It's a transformation that happens. He says here to not conform. Be not conformed to this world. And as I looked at that word for a while, I'm trying to figure out what is he really telling us here. I didn't like what I saw because it hit pretty close to home. Where is my love today? Do I really love God? Is my heart truly walking after God? Conform means to live for self. It means loving something else more than God. It means desiring riches. It means to pattern after, to be the same pattern as the world. Can I sit here this morning? Can I stand here this morning and look really good and righteous and be conformed to the world? Yes, I can. I can stand up here and preach to you. I can walk out those back doors and I can be conformed to the world. We're of a different country. We don't belong here. How many of you want to stay here forever? I see some heads shaking. I don't either. Things aren't getting any better. But I know another country that is better. He says to be transformed. I want you to think about this for a little bit. Metamorphosis. As a caterpillar turns into a butterfly. How many of you have watched this? There's a few hands here. A lady showed up at our house one day and she had a milkweed. Is that correct? A milkweed. And on this milkweed was a little bitty old caterpillar. She said, if you take that and put it in a jar and you watch it, it's going to do this, it's going to do this. So we did. It was a cool science project for the family. After a while, this little worm attaches himself to a little branch we had in there, and he hangs there like a little jay. And he stopped crawling. He just hung there. There was a little bit of twitching every so often. But as we watched one day, all of a sudden, he's being covered with another membrane of some kind. And it has this perfect little gold dot on it. And if you go and you Google that and you figure out what, or look at that, you're going to see the same gold dot at the same spot. God. That's all I got to say is God. His creation is so beautiful. But the transformation that's happening here, he's going through all these different stages. I like to complain when God puts me somewhere in a different stage. Because it don't feel good. Actually, this thing was wrapping him up all the way to where it was dark inside. He couldn't see out. As a matter of fact, he's going to lose part of himself. There's a change happening. And as we kept on watching this, it wasn't too long until we could see inside that little, it cleared up. It wasn't the greenish anymore, it's kind of clear. You could see inside it, you could see butterfly wings starting to form in there. Can you picture yourself as this metamorphosis, if I can say it right? God starts doing a work in our heart. There's a cleansing that takes place. Maybe we can't see. Maybe it all seems dark to us. But as we obey Him, as we listen to Him, we allow Him to do the work in our hearts. Something starts taking shape. I came home from work one day. They said, there's a butterfly. He came out. And I wasn't there, so they videoed it. I did get to see another one later on. But the butterfly came out. He spread his wings until he dried. He was going through his little time until he was ready to fly. Friends, we are in this transformation right now. God is doing something in our hearts. Are you going to let Him? He's working in us. He's making something beautiful out of us. I don't know if we would say that the learning part of flying is when we get to glory. Is that living here, serving Him here? I'll leave that. But He's doing a transformation in our hearts if we allow Him to. Don't be afraid of change. It's leading you to a new beginning. I say that carefully. But when God brings change into your life, into your heart, don't fight it. Allow Him to bring that change in, because He's got something new waiting for you. A change in behavior begins with a change in the heart. I believe so many of us as Christians today, we claim we've been made new, but we still hold the keys. We still hold the keys to the heart. God wants those keys. Hand them over to Him. Allow Him to make you brand new, to take over. I would like to read 2 Corinthians 5, and I'm going to read this in a different translation, so I'd ask you just to listen. This makes it just a bit more simple. We're just about ready to close. I know we went over time this morning, and I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. It says, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone, so that those who receive His new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. Growing in Christ. That's my challenge this morning to each one of us. Am I growing? Too many times I take life very lightly. And I really don't care if I grow or not. I read a story this week of a man, and this was a story to bring out a point. He said, I have a child that doesn't like to eat, so I don't feed that child. He said, Sunday after church, we all go out to eat. So we take the child with us, and we make that child eat Sunday after church. That child eats a big meal, but he doesn't eat again until next Sunday. Do you think that child's going to live? No. This is what he had to say. He said, that's how we are as Christians today. And please, don't misunderstand me. I'm not pointing fingers at you this morning. I'm thinking about myself. Am I eating from the Word of God only on Sunday? Maybe occasionally during the week I'll get into the Word. Friends, we need what I told you last time I shared. We need appetite. We need to be in the Word. Unless we are in the Word, if we're not dead already, we're going to die. Where we spend our eternity, it's going to depend on how we've walked this life. So I just want to challenge you this morning. Are you growing? Are you walking? Are we just sliding through life, hoping at the end of life something good is going to come out of this? Friends, it's not going to happen. Let's check our hearts. Let's grow. Let's walk. Would you stand with me this morning as we pray? I'm just going to ask you this morning, if the Holy Spirit knocked on your door this morning, would you bring it to Him this morning as we pray and allow Him to work in your heart? Let's pray. Father, again, we thank You that You desire to be our Father. You desire to love us. I just ask, Lord, that You would work in my heart first. Work in each one of our hearts this morning, Lord. I pray that You would speak into our hearts Your love. Lord, that we would have the courage and the wisdom to accept that love and to allow You, Lord, to be our Lord and our Savior. Our eternity depends on it. We love You, Lord, and we want to be faithful to You. Would you dismiss us now with your blessing? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.